Thank you, Clayton and Dawson and Josh, for sharing in special music this morning. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them to John chapter 12 today. We find ourselves in the Gospel of John today. We've been there for quite some time. And the title of the message today is Loving Life. How many of you love life? Huh. You'll be ready for this one then. Loving life. Life is fun, isn't it? I want you to think about cotton candy. How many of you like cotton candy? I'm not a big cotton candy fan, so I'll leave it for you. And roller coaster rides. We have the black, oh yeah, roller coaster. How many of you like roller coaster rides? How many used to like roller coaster rides? And not anymore. You don't do it anymore. We have the Black Hills Stock Show, and we have the rally. Isn't that fun? We live in the beautiful Black Hills, and we enjoy wonderful hikes. We have tornadoes. Well, we don't have tornadoes. We don't have tornadoes like Sioux Falls. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And some of you had flooding a little bit earlier in the summer, but you haven't had it this week, and that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? We have ice cream. I love ice cream. You scream ice cream. We all scream for ice cream. That was pretty pathetic. We have chocolate. Chocolate's a great thing, isn't it? I don't know how that came about, but it's wonderful. We have family. Yeah, isn't family wonderful? Even the weird ones. We have a great life. We really do. We enjoy cars that run. All of you went out and started your car up today, and I think everybody's car ran this morning. Anybody have any car trouble this morning? They're not here if they did. We have instant tweets, and we enjoy Facebook. And maybe even today when you get bored with the message a little bit, you're going to be scrolling through somebody's Facebook photos and say, oh, that's what they did this week. Wow, that's really cool. We have sports. Some are ready for a football game today, and outdoor grilling. Now, isn't that good? Except for when you're not doing it, and you're walking down the street, and you're like, wow, we should invite ourselves over tonight. Life is a good thing. Don't you just love this life? I mean, it's just a wonderful life, except for some of us have some things that aren't so exciting. Some of us walked in with a little bit of a limp today, or you have something even right now, you're like, you know, I wish I had a chiropractor here today and we could just be on the front row of chairs here and just, you know, pop something here or there. Some of us have some physical ailments that are just devastating. Some of our families and our marriages are in disarray. Some of our kids and our grandkids, well, they're not making the wisest of choices right now. Some of our vehicles, even though they run, we're like, I wish I could get rid of that chick-chick-chick-whirr, chick-chick-chick-whirr, and you call your mechanic, and what's up with this chick-chick-chick-whirr? And if you have a good mechanic, they're like, oh, we think it's this. And you're like, you know what you're doing, and I appreciate you. Some of our bank accounts are pretty stretched right now. We think, boy, I hope another catastrophic thing doesn't happen, because if it does, I'm not sure how I'm going to pay for it. But it's life, right? Today we find ourselves in the text where some people approach Jesus. And when they approach Jesus, they want to see Jesus, and he gives them an interesting reply. He talks to them about their lives. And so I ask you, are you enjoying life, and how is your life going? If you join me in John chapter 12, I'm going to share from verse 20 to 26 today. It's on the Bible in front of you. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible, on page 899, and here's what it says. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Let me pause for just a moment. What if somebody came to you and said, we want to see Jesus? Would you be able to show them Jesus in your life, and would you be able to say, here he is? Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, or in the old King James, it would have said, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. First thing I want you to see is some approach Jesus. There are some individuals that go and they approach Jesus. Who are they? They are Greeks, not even the Jews. Is it weird that the Greeks are in Jerusalem? As a reminder, this is the Passover. This is the time where everybody's coming. And here are some extras, not some of the 2.7 possibly million Jews, but there are some Greeks in Jerusalem as well. They are seeking Jesus and they go to Philip. Now, why did they go to Philip? He may have had a Greek name, and Philip then brought him to Andrew. And if you look in the scriptures, when Andrew is mentioned, he's always bringing people to Jesus. And so here they go, and they go to Philip, and hey, we want to see Jesus. And then they go to Andrew, and they go right to Jesus. They're coming for the feast, an important feast in Israel. Jesus answers them. I find this interesting, and throughout John, if you've been part of the John series, there's several times where somebody will come to Jesus and will ask him a question, and Jesus will answer like in a way different answer. It's like, what are you? You didn't even answer the question. What question is asked here? Do you see the question that's asked here? There is no question asked here. There's no question. It's the Greeks coming, and they say, we want to see Jesus. They don't ask him a question. They don't come up and say, no, we'd like to talk to you about the doctrine of entire sanctification. Jesus, could you please lay out for us what it means to be entirely sanctified in 9 succinct steps so we can make sure there's nothing of that at all. They say, we want to see Jesus. And so Jesus then answers them, in a way that you're like, what are you talking? They want to see you, and so why don't you just say, what do you want? What question do you have? No, he gives them this answer. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Martha is at the tomb, and Lazarus has been dead. And Martha says this, don't open the tomb. And you know what Jesus does? He ignores her. We talked about this several weeks ago. He's like, oh, well, thank you, Martha, that's nice. But I'm going to open the tomb, and he didn't say it quite like that, but he just does that. In the same way, we want to see Jesus, and he says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Why didn't he reveal it to the Jews? Why does he reveal it to the Greeks? It's something to ponder, maybe to talk about over lunch. And don't be surprised when God reveals something that you think, well, how come he's not revealing it to me? I'm Steve here. Come on. He's supposed to give it to me when God reveals something to someone else. And he utters these words, truly, truly, I say to you. We got to pay attention when he says truly, truly. He gives this instruction. He says, a grain of wheat only grows when it dies. If that happens, it's going to bear much fruit. He goes on to say, if you love life, you lose it. If you hate light, you keep it. If you serve, you must follow. Where Jesus is, so are his servants. If you serve, the Father will honor him. There is like a whole bunch packed right here. I'm going to talk about just a couple of those. Jesus is saying that only by death comes life. How do we receive eternal life? How did eternal life come to us? Do you know how? By Jesus dying, by death. Here's what he's saying. He is like giving a snapshot into what needs to happen in us, and he's going to live it. He says, a grain of wheat must die in order for it to bear much fruit. And he's saying, I'm going to die. And then he's also saying, we need to die as well. A kernel of wheat does no good in just the kernel. It must be cast out and buried into the cold, dark earth in order to flourish into something great, bearing much fruit. Another way of looking at it is a quote that I got, and here it is. The blood of the martyrs was the seed of the church. We must imitate Christ in our lives. We must die in order to live. And that's one of those, what? How does that play out? I ask the question of everybody here. Have you died yet? Because if you haven't died yet, then I beg and I ask and I question whether you're truly living. Oh, yes, you can live life. But until you die to yourself and live to Christ, Jesus says, you don't really have life. I think each of us want to bear much fruit, and in order to bear much fruit, we have to die. Now, this phrase in verse 25, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If you do a little word search and you try to find that in the other Gospels, you find it. Actually, in Matthew chapter 10, in Matthew chapter 16, in Mark chapter 8, in Luke chapter 9, and in Luke chapter 17, this same phrase is there. Now, John records it later than any of the other ones, any of the other writers. He gives it right here when they're coming to Jerusalem, and he says, hey, what are you doing? Sometimes only when a man buries his own personal aims and ambitions that he begins to be of real use of God. I think, this is my opinion, I think we live a life of protection. I think that's what we do. It's not a bad thing. But how many of us, you and I, live a life of abandon for Jesus Christ? I don't think not many of us. Why? Because we love our life. We want to do our stuff, and we want to do what we want with our stuff when we want to do with our stuff. And we don't want anyone to mess with our stuff. But when God calls, we have to say, that stuff is no longer mine, it's God. Would we be so audacious to tell God no? Now, many of us would say, well, I wouldn't say it outright that way. But there are moments in our lives when God says, sell that. And we say, no, that's too nice of a vehicle. I'm not going to sell it. Do away with that. No, I might need that for something else. I like my home. I'm assuming many of you like your home or the place where you live. What if God was to ask you to sell it? Would you do it? Well, it's my home. It's my favorite recliner. What if God asked you to give of your life in such a way, would you be willing to do it? Well, I have a family. Yes, but doesn't Jesus ask for all of us? It'd be fun. You might not like it, and I probably wouldn't like it either. But it'd be fun if I just spent a couple of moments with you, and we just chatted, and I found out something in your life that was very, very meaningful to you. And I would say, what if God said, I'm going to take that away from you? Would you be in a place you're like, don't do that. That's God, I love you, but don't do that. For some of us, it would be a spouse. I mean, if God came and said, you know, I think Manel is going to be better in heaven than here on earth, I'm going to be like, no, I don't think you're right, God. That's not according to the plan. What if it's a child? Some of you have lost a child somewhere along the way. And you're like, whoa, time out here. How is this? What would be something in your life that if it was removed, you could continue to say, I love the Lord with all of my heart and my soul and my mind and my strength. Sometimes it's something a little less dear maybe, but maybe more dear. Maybe it's a car. Give your car up. Some of you hold tightly to a car, or again, to your house, or your health. Some of you really love your health. Sometimes we go a little bit too overboard. Many of us don't do this, but there are a couple of us that we work out way too much. I mean, that's like almost a god instead of it being a part of our lives. Some of us, it's sports. Some of it's your investments, your money. There are several of you in this room that can honestly say, take it away. Whatever, Lord. I'm willing to lose whatever in order to serve you more. And I think there are many of us who are striving for that. I brought some goodies with me today. I'm wanting to share these with people. Is that okay with everybody? Is that all right with everybody? I have some ho-hos or their Swiss cake rolls. And by the way, sorry, Lauren, but you can eat these today, okay? I mean, this is like a free thing that you can have and to enjoy. So does anybody like Swiss cake rolls and you'd like to have one this morning? Oh, Wyatt, you'd like to have one? I'm going to throw it, okay? Can you catch it? Nice catch. You ready? It's coming. Great catch. Who else? Oh, Lisa, you like these? Here, I want to give one to you.
You should have thrown it.
You know what I think the deal is? George wants one. And so he's like, hey, give her one. I have some Cheetos. Does anybody like Cheetos? I mean, Cheetos are really good. Because Mary and Linda, you're two sitting together. Here you go. Don't wipe your fingers on the chairs, please. We don't need that. I have some oatmeal cream pies. Anybody like oatmeal cream pies? Davin, coming to you. Didn't make it. Sorry. I'm glad I didn't hit you, Gary. Somebody else like oatmeal cream pies? Oh, ready? Those don't fly as well. Come on, Carter. I don't know if I can get it there. Oh, somebody else? Oatmeal cream pie. You just really like oatmeal cream pies. Damien, you like them? All right, here we go. Man, this is a hot row here. I really don't want to give this away, but does anybody like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups? Yeah? Yeah? Deb, you like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups? There you go. How about Hershey's? Now, this is a king size, but it's with almonds. Ingrid had her hand raised. I'm sorry, Brent. And when I said with almonds, she went. That's a king size, so maybe you can share it. How about a red pepper? Anybody like a red pepper fan? Yeah, all right. Folger's Classic Roast. Does anybody like Folger's Classic Roast? All right, you ready, Reed? It's coming. Here, I'll roll it down the aisle. Whoa, come get it, Reed. I'm gonna get at somebody here, I'm sorry, but I'm gonna get somebody's weakness. Do you like double stuffed Oreos? All right. You can have them all yourself, all right? You don't have to share them with any of your siblings. She's got a lot of siblings. How about Chips Ahoy? Anybody like Chips Ahoy here? Really? A couple of you like Chips Ahoy. Brenda, you like Chips Ahoy? They have... You do. They have Reese's Peanut Butter Cups in them. You have to share, though. Okay. Yeah, you can have some right now, Brenda, if you want to. It's fine with me. I brought some soda with me today. Is anybody a Pepsi fan? Yeah? You've already got a pepper, dude. Yeah. Judy, you like Pepsi? How about Diet Coke? Anybody a Diet Coke fan? Here, you get both of them. She said she wanted Pepsi and down Diet Coke. You get both, or you can share them. But I have some more. How many of you, I need another Diet Coke and a Pepsi lover? Tina Sample, you like Pepsi or Diet Coke? What do you like, Tina? You like Diet Coke? Do you like Pepsi?
Sure.
Okay. I won't throw it, Tina. I'm going to hand it to Paula, and she'll hand it back to you. All right. I have more. This is a good day, isn't it? I'm sorry. I've been neglecting this group over here. I have a Diet Coke and another Pepsi. Anybody like a Diet Coke, Cindy? Yeah, when you hear that, that makes a whole world different. You have oatmeal cream pie. Anybody else Pepsi? There you go. It's even cold. Psh! How many of you just like water? I mean, you are a water person. I'd love to throw it to you, Kathy, but I don't know if I'd do that very good. Who's a water person? Just give me a water. Rod, you ready? No, I won't do that. Here you go, Rod. I'm going to roll it down the aisle. You can come out and get it. There we go. How about an apple? Just a good little apple. Yeah, Jonathan, there you go. You're so... Oh! Sorry about hitting you in the hands. Sorry about that. And Funyuns. Frank's saying, give me some Funyuns. Well, I've already had a couple of people. Funyuns, that doesn't even look good to me, really. But to you, eat them up. And you could share with, you know, some people around you. Do you like Funyuns? No. Not even intriguing. Isn't life good? Our taste buds are wonderful, aren't they? Now, why am I handing out all these things? We love our goodies. And let me just talk to you for a couple of minutes of how we love our lives, okay? If you're not a believer here in the Lord this morning, this is not going to make any sense. Because you just love life and it's not that big of a deal. If you're not a believer, I encourage you to know Jesus, and I think that you're going to love life even more. This is how we love our lives. We get wrapped up in our hobbies. We get wrapped up in our sports, and our sports dominate our lives, and we love sports more than we love God. We get wrapped up in our hunting. We get wrapped up in our video games. We get wrapped up in our sewing, and we get wrapped up in cooking and gardening and our family events. We get wrapped up in book reading and watching TV and watching movies. These consume our lives more than godly things. Are these things wrong and bad? I mean, some of these things I don't really care for, but these food items, I don't think that they're evil. I don't think they're satanic. But they represent some things in our lives that if we're not careful, we're not doing what Jesus says when he says, whoever loves his life loses it, but whoever hates his life will keep it for eternal life. These things consume our lives, our hobbies, instead of godly things, reading God's word, prayer, sharing faith. How is it that we can have all this time for our sports and our hobbies and our book reading and our gardening and our cooking and our watching TV? And then, well, it's really hard for me, Pastor Steve, to spend 5 minutes reading God's word a day. Boy, that's really hard. What? How? It's really hard for me to spend time in prayer because I'm really tired. We love our lives. We don't see beyond ourselves. And let me talk to parents in the room for just a moment. But it's for the kids. And so because it's for the kids, then it's okay. Mom and Dad are wanting me to pursue this. We love our lives physically. We feed ourselves with things that taste ever so good, and then we balloon to great proportions. Why? Because we love our lives, and we feed ourselves. We intake substances that are not healthy for our bodies and don't really care what others, even what doctors say. Well, who cares? We get excited about our break time because we get to do something at break time that is so involving for us, or the end of work, or the weekend, because we can finally do whatever. Why? Because we love our lives. We drink whatever we want to. Why? Because we love our lives. Whether it be a soda pop, I can't wait till 10 o'clock. Shh. If that's you and you're waiting till 10 or whatever to hear the ksh, then maybe you love soda pop a little too much. Or energy drinks, or sweet tea, or alcohol, or coffee. We love our lives. I wonder if you have denied yourself in recent days. Some of you fast regularly. Some of you don't even think about fasting. Some of you aren't sure what fasting is. Fasting is taking time, I believe, most importantly, taking time away from food to fast on what God has for us and receive spiritual food. Well, I can't go a day without eating. Oh, you can. Do I love Jesus more than ice cream? seems kind of silly. How about choosing a day this week to go without food or to go without your favorite beverage or whatever it is, fast? If you do that, you email me or you text me and I'm going to pray for you on that day, because God will sustain you in those days. I know there are some physical limitations with diabetes and stuff. We love our lives by pleasing the eyes. Men, we see the physical side of things, and so we please our eyes with what's on the screen or what's in a magazine or what's on the side of the road. Women, attached to emotional things in our lives. We love our lives by financially working for our goods, our needs, our hopes. We sure do have some nice vehicles and boats and all kinds of stuff and our electronic gadgets. We love our lives. We love this thing. Man, hold on here. I got to get the latest tweet from President Trump. We love our lives. Philippians 2 verse 20 says this: I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says, whoever hates his life in the world will keep it for eternal life. Do you hate your life? That's kind of a weird phrase. Let me tell you something that it's not. Hating your life is not taking your life in your own hands and ending your life with suicide. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, don't hate your life and go kill yourself. He's not saying that at all. He's also not saying that you should mutilate your bodies. He's not saying that you should treat everyone with disrespect and hate them, and you shouldn't be going around saying, I hate you, I hate you. Jesus says, I'm supposed to say, I hate you. That's not what Jesus is saying. Don't go home and tell a spouse or a family member or somebody you even don't like that you hate them. That's not what Jesus is saying. And he's also not saying that you should go to jail, because I'm assuming everybody would hate being in jail, okay? You need to hate everything in the world, so go to jail so you can really do it well. No, that's not what he's saying. I think Jesus is saying, doing everything for God's kingdom and not your own kingdom. But we are so pulled into this world. But the scripture says, be in the world, but not of the world. 1 John 2:15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, here are the three things that I think trip everyone up. You find one of them for you, but these are the three things that scripture says: the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with his desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Why is Jesus teaching this? I think he's saying, do you want more? Do you want more of me? And I think maybe we should look at it in this way. Here's maybe a visual for you. Each of us in this room have two eyes. Most all of us in this room, both of our eyes work. Not everyone. But if we keep our eyes focused on something, that's where our eyes are at. But I think if we can do it in this way, if you can keep your one eye focused on earthly things and one eye focused on heavenly things, then you will find the straight path for you. But many times we focus our eyes on all of the earthly things and we miss out on all the heavenly things. A story is told of a lady, and her name was Mrs. Berwick. She was very active in the Salvation Army work in Liverpool when she lived there, and she retired to London. About that time, the war came and air raids came, and she was old, and her days of social service were in days gone by. but she felt she must do something. So she put together a simple first aid box, and she put a sign in her window that read, "If you need help, knock here." See, she didn't love her life even when she was older. She wanted to serve others. This is a hard teaching, but yet it's glorious. And I wonder if we, and I encourage us all to continue to live the hard life. What's hard of this? It's saying this: we must spiritually die. We must not love this life. We must follow Jesus, and we must serve Jesus. But the rewards of this is oh so great. If we do these things, we bear much fruit. We gain eternal life. That's huge. When we follow, Jesus will be there, and the Father will honor you. When you do this, when you say no to the things of the world, and you say yes to Jesus, the Father will honor you. That's what it says. Well, I'm retired, so I'm going to sit back and enjoy life. That's not what it says here. I'm under 18, and I know we have several that are under 18. And maybe it's hard for you to understand what it means to lose your life. Ask God, and I believe He will show you. Well, I'm a young mother with two kids. I can't do it. I'm an empty nester trying to recoup with all that was lost financially with my kids in the home. This passage does not show any respect for age or position. It says, all of us here don't love your life, hate this world, and focus on the Lord. And if you serve Him and you follow Him, that is where you need to be. Do you love life? I hope you do. And I hope that you love life through God's eyes. Is there something in your life that is taking the place of God? Is there something in your life that is too much? Is there something in your life that's getting too big in your life, and you need to draw and you need to lose that? If so, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for every one of you. Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? And if you want to live this way, I encourage you just to ask God as I pray for you, is there anything that I need to lose in my life that I need to do away with? And if there is, be willing and bold enough to say yes to Him. God, I just thank You for each person that's here today. Thank You for the great rewards that are able to come our way when we say no to this world and say yes to You. God, that's tough. We've got a lot of family. We like them, mostly. We've got a lot of stuff, and we enjoy our hobbies. And You're not saying that we can't enjoy those, but when they take the place of You, we miss out on truly what You've called us to do. So God, would You help each one of us keep one eye in the world and one eye heavenward? And I ask, God, that if there's something in each of our lives that we need to do away with, and we need to lose that, something that we hold too tightly to, I pray, God, that You would enable us to let go of that. Help us to enjoy life. I don't think You're asking us not to enjoy life, but You're asking us also to have a right perspective. So, God, for each man and each woman, each boy, each girl, I pray that You would do something in each of our hearts today. And if there's something comes this week, I pray that we would know that we need to look to You so we can have all of the rewards of eternal life. Thank You, God, for Your love for us. Would You, I ask God, protect us this week, guide us, guard us, and may we be servants of Yours. We love You, and we pray this all in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.